Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Congratulations, Lori from Franklin Square got our baseball IQ trivia question correct, something we'll be doing once a week right here on WFAN, here on the Evan and Tiki program. So congratulations to her. So the question was, what color socks do the White Sox wear at home?
That's right.
So it can't be white for two reasons.
Or can it?
Number one, you're not creating this question to have the answer be in the question. And number two, white wouldn't work. Like, they wear home white jerseys. To have the white socks would look very awkward. So the answer is, what is black?
That is the answer, Evan. But if we ask the same question about the Red Sox, do you know what that answer is?
What color socks do the Red Sox wear at home? I think it's red.
Yeah.
Huh.
So have you ever thought about that?
I've never thought about that.
The Red Sox wear red socks. The White Sox do not wear white
socks. Now I've thought about it. I will say one thing I did think about uniform-wise, and Tommy will be the one to have an opinion on this. You will be clueless. No offense. So watching the Met game last night, the Mets against the Mariners are wearing their City Connects. Okay? Pretty cool. Got no problem with it. Their pants, I don't know if you're with me on this, their pants are like they're wrestling as the Big Boss Man from 1991. And for those that don't know, Google it. Like, the Big Boss Man would have those pants with the yellow stripe down it. And that's what the Mariners were wearing. And throughout this entire game, all I could think about was the Big Boss Man.
All I could think about was the Big Boss Man and Bobby Heenan making fun of Big Boss Man's mother. Remember all the mom jokes back in the day?
Yes.
You're right, man. Just go back to the ones they had over the weekend with the Junior Griffey ones, right?
Oh, here. Cobb County, Georgia. You better read the signs. Respect the law and order. You're
the hard times. You're disturbing hard times. Bring the Big Boss Man to the line.
It's amazing. Wrestling theme songs from the early 90s were so badass.
And by the way, if not for Jeff McNeil, the Big Boss Man would have scored as many runs as the Mets this weekend.
That is very, very true. You know, it's funny. The Big Boss Man theme song is great. And when you think about the old 90s theme songs in WWE, they're very good. When I get addicted to a song, like there's a song in my head, what I do is I play it over and over again.
Oh, so I get the song. Haven't seen that before.
So I can get the song out of my head. Why? What song have I done that with?
Every AI song you've ever created?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of some of the AI songs I've created.
That makes one of you.
But there was a song in my head on vacation, and it was so in my head that the only way I could attack it is to play it over and over and over and over again. So we had a speaker by the pool that we used in between raindrops. I brought a speaker out to the beach. Mm-hmm. I would bring a speaker into the shower. And over again, I would listen to the same song to just get it out of my head.
Shaboozy?
That is up there, by the way.
Oh, I love
That's a great song.
Yeah.
You talking about Tipsy?
Yeah.
That's the same song, right?
Pull me another shot of whiskey.
Yeah. Great. By the way, that was about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Like, that was on my list 2 weeks ago. I'm past that now. Still right. Like the song. It's the new Roman Reigns theme song. I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, that Shaboozy, definitely the same thing.
Can you pull that up real quick? This new Roman Reigns theme song is so good that I literally listened to it like 175 times over the weekend because that's my only way to attack getting a song out of my head. Like, what are the other options, bro?
Yeah, you're right. You play it until you're so sick of it.
That's the only option. Like, when you love something so much and you know it's a problem, now this doesn't work with everything in life, what you should do is just keep doing it over and over again until you get sick of it. Does that make sense?
You're right. I should have ice cream 15 straight nights.
You will get sick of it. I promise you, you will get sick of it.
You're right.
It's like anything in life. Well, again, it doesn't apply to everything.
Well, it depends.
But some things, most things, like if there's a food, listen to this. Listen to this. This is the heart of it, too.
Just so the audience is aware, you played this on vacation on repeat by the pool and on the beach.
That is correct, yes. Pump it up, pump it up. Listen to this.
What a great vacation.
Think about how dramatic this is.
Your summer beach vacation, this was the go-to song.
Yes. It all started because
Evan Roberts, everyone.
Roman Reigns made his gallant return at SummerSlam, like the day my vacation started.
Oh, SummerSlam happened already?
It was last Saturday night. And we all watched it. And for those that watch wrestling, Roman made a return, tear to my eye. I mean, you talk about the GOAT. He's the freaking GOAT. And he came out to this new music, and I was like, this is freaking badass. And from that moment, I was like, I got this in my head. So I literally played that song you just heard. That was a little excerpt. 134 times over the last 6 days.
What a treat.
Yeah, my family loved it.
What a treat.
By the way, Yankees, White Sox tonight. First pitch a little after 8 o'clock. Yankees coming off this 5-4 homestand. And now they take on a Chicago White Sox team that has lost 30 of their last 34 games and 24 of their last 25 games. What's the lineup tonight, by the way?
Doing that before Cinco? We'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Here we go, Ev. Leading off, Alex Verdugo in left field. Batting second, Juan Soto in right field. Batting third, Aaron Judge in center field. The red-hot Giancarlo Stanton cleans up at DH. Austin Wells bats fifth in catches. Mm-hmm. Gleyber Torres bats sixth at second base. Jazz Chisholm Jr. bats seventh at third base. Mm-mm. Anthony Volpe at shortstop batting eighth. And your first baseman, DJ LeMahieu, bats ninth with Luis Gil on the mound.
And they're facing a lefty tonight, I think.
I believe.
I think the White Sox starter is Kyle Busch, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And I think he is a left-hander. Can you confirm that for me?
Yeah. Give me a say. Anything else for you, Uncle Lewis?
Yeah, actually, before you do that, Cinco de Five-O time here on the Fan.
Cinco de Five-O with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Kyle Busch is 18th in the NASCAR Cup Series right now. He will not be starting for the White Sox. Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Helix
Wireless. By the way, the guy pitching for the White Sox tonight, and I was close enough, is Kai Busch. K-Y okay. And then Busch. And he is a lefty, so I was right about, you know, I just left that, the L-E was the thing I added. So his name is Kai Busch, K-Y, and then B-U-S-H.
You know what I feel like right now? I feel like Hard Knocks when Dable at every quarterback recite plays back to him. I just got thrown 14 things at once. What are we doing?
Cinco, go.
All right. Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, I hadn't worked in a week. I got really agitated over the weekend, Evan.
Somebody, did you hear 880 is no longer with us?
Did
you hear that breaking news?
I did.
Is that what the Cinco's about?
No, it is not.
Five greatest moments on News Radio 88? No.
It would not be.
Okay, go ahead. I apologize.
I'm going to give you the five most absurd tweets I saw from coworkers this weekend. It's a little hat tip to toast it and post it.
I like that.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Let's start with Pete Hoffman, a producer of BT and Sal, when he tweeted yesterday, simply, Giancarlo Stanton equals Hall of Famer. Can we calm down, Pete?
Is that in the air? Because while I was on vacation, I got an email in the RicoB@gmail.com Rico Bronya account.
Yeah.
With a guy saying, hey, Evan, like, kissed my ass. You're such a great baseball fan, blah, blah, blah. I was having a debate with my friend the other day. Is Giancarlo a Hall of Famer? And I saw this while I was sitting on the beach, and my first reaction was no. But then I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to crunch his numbers at some point, and I'll do 5 minutes on the podcast. So why is that a thing? Did someone talk about that on the air last week?
I have no idea. I know he obviously had the big homer yesterday, and maybe that is why.
So just it's on the kind of Giancarlo's hitting, and he's having a decent year. Is that where it came from?
Whether Giancarlo makes the Hall of Fame or not is irrelevant to me. The point is, who's tweeting about that yesterday?
I think it's because he hit that line drive home run, and Hoff saying, hey, that guy's a Hall of Famer. It is an interesting debate. We could do that at some point.
You know what? Then we got a little whiteboard for you and Luke. You guys get the pick.
Number four.
My gut is no, but if I crunch the numbers, I could see myself looking at it differently. But my gut feeling is he is not a Hall of Famer.
But if he gets the 500 home runs with an MVP.
You guys are killing the bit. The bit is the most absurd tweets, and you guys are actually having the debate, which means it's not an absurd
tweet. I don't think it's an absurd tweet. I tell you right now. Go ahead, number four.
I agree with Evan.
All right. Well, number four, maybe you'll agree, Levin. This from Lugauer on Friday. Tommy DeVito is a good fella and should be the Giants starting quarterback in week one. I stand with Tommy. We're referencing Italian movies to back your point up. We're not going to argue this because it's for a later point, but ridiculous, absurd tweet. Okay.
No, you can't just do that.
Here we go. Number three.
Number three.
That was a quote tweet of a video where I shared opinions.
Cut his mic off, Rosenberg. Number three is C-Mac from 3:30 yesterday. We love McMonagle. Tough couple days for the, quote, anybody but Holmes, end quote, crowd. Holmes proceeded after that tweet to nearly blow a save and look horrendous. So good job, Chris. All because Mark Leiter stunk. He thought there was a good time to tweet that.
I mean, he got a four-out save, and he didn't blow the game. They won.
I'm sorry. Here we go.
Number two.
This from Lugauer at 10:30 p.m.
Wow,
last night.
A second one from Lug.
Yeah. Official statement, again from Twitter, Lugauer last night. A 4-6 road trip is good, considering they had to visit four different cities through multiple time zones. Fully confident bats will heat up. And remember, the Mets are right in the thick of the wild card race. Love it. Can't wait for October. They went 4-6.
Yeah.
Bumbling and stumbling all over the place and barely scored a run this weekend.
I love Tommy. I do. And I think you're blossoming as a superstar around here because you're the future.
I agree.
But that one was tough to take last night. Like, the Mets just got embarrassed. They got annihilated by the Mariners. Not saying it's the end of the world, but it was not fun. I don't think any of us had fun.
Yeah.
To actually say that was a good road trip is a lie.
And also,
now you're lying to the audience. So I get positivity, and I'm good with that. Even if I disagree with you sometimes. But that one, that's a lie. That's like looking at somebody and saying, you're skinny. And meanwhile, they're not. Like, that's like looking at me and saying, boy, Evan, you have bulging muscles. And I'd say, you're lying to me. So I would say that definitely fits absurd tweets because you can't say the Mets had a good run.
It was just, I felt for Tommy. At that point, you realize he's kind of like Jemai Jones, got exposed versus lefties.
Yeah, that was the exposure moment for some. Where they're like, uh-oh, I don't know if I can take him seriously anymore.
Here we go.
Number one.
And I say that with love.
Hold on.
This is Cinco Day Five. You had five last week you could do.
But he's accusing me of being a liar.
You lied.
So now he's calling into my character into question. It's positivity. I'm positive, Tommy.
No. Positivity is saying, hey, I think the Mets are going to make the playoffs. They'll be fine. That's positivity. They're going to have a great homestand. Totally cool. You can't say they had a good road trip. That's a lie.
You lied to Met fans, and that's not right for somebody who represents the fan base.
It's not a lie.
Love
it.
You said love it.
Yeah.
It's a good road trip.
They went under 500 on a road trip that included the Rockies and Angels.
And they got swept and got annihilated in the last three games. That's a lie.
All right. Can I go for the last one now? Oh,
yes.
Okay. Number one.
This at 6:09 p.m. on Saturday. Craig Carton tweets, my man at Evan Roberts WFAN is so jealous with a picture of what can only be described as the most low-budget scorecard I've ever seen, to the point on flyouts, numbers weren't even circled. And that's Cinco Day 5-0 today and every day.
I love that tweet. In fact, one of my favorite parts of vacation is that I'm there with my kids, all right? Spence is talking a mile a minute. He's got 100 questions. And my phone rings, and I see I have a missed FaceTime call from Sonny Carton. And I'm like, missed FaceTime? What is Sonny FaceTiming me about? And so I'm about to click on it and see what's up. Like, oh, let me FaceTime him back. Like, I love Sonny. And as I'm doing that, I'm then getting FaceTimed by Craig. And I'm like, okay, so this wasn't an accident. What's going on? I click it, I swipe it, and there's Craig showing me his homemade scorecard that he's building.
Oh,
and he's like, look at this.
Oh,
meanwhile,
my God.
Spence is screaming, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? And I'm like, it's Craig. He has, Spence has no idea who Craig is. I mean, he's 3 years old.
Right, I don't
He knows
him.
Tiki. Where's Tiki? I like Tiki. Where's Tiki? What's Tiki doing right now? That was a question Spence asked me in the middle of the week. What's Tiki doing right now? What's Tiki doing now? Like, wow.
Say, arguing with Lugauer about terrible takes he had?
Maybe. So Craig was very proud of that scorecard. But what I didn't tell Craig and what I didn't tell Sonny and what I haven't told you is that seeing that video of the scorecard actually hit me emotionally.
All right.
Because I had an incident last week that has still scarred me to this moment.
On vacation?
Yeah. I'm going to talk about this. I may have briefly mentioned it on the Rico Bronya, but I will get into a little bit more details. Last weekend, after recording a Rico Bronya on the deck of the house we were staying at, I left my scorebook outside. It poured that night. And so the following morning, I saw my scorebook drenched, and I freaked out. I ran outside, I picked up this sopping scorebook, and I lost my mind. I quickly went to my wife. She was in the kitchen. I put my arm around her and said, "Honey, I did something really bad." She freaked out. She's like, "Did you kill somebody?"
Wow.
And I said, "No, I left my scorebook outside. It's now soaking wet." Now, the reason I married my wife, there's so many reasons. She's beautiful. I love her. She's kind. She's sweet. She proceeded to take my scorebook into the bathroom, take a hairdryer, and blow the scorebook's pages so that it would dry.
Oh, God.
That's a wife.
It's great.
So she spent all day hair drying the scorebook.
Choose carefully.
And I appreciate that. That night, she looks at me and says, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "The show must go on." And so I took my sopping, wet, moist scorebook, and I scored that game. And I scored the following day.
And the pages were dry enough still?
Those pages later in the book, they're crunchy, but they started to dry.
We can relate to the crunchy pages. I get that.
Early in my scorebook, and I do have the scorebook with me, but I'm not ready to show you guys this. I'm not ready to show the audience this.
By hair drying all the runny pen, wouldn't that make, like, for, you know, opening day, Rhys Hoskins' name really drip?
It's funny you say that, Sean.
Okay.
Oh, let's score games and go shag. I'm not ready to show anybody this, but the first half of the season, the lineup side is very, very mushy. Very mushy. Very blurry. And so it's very tough to look at.
The Mets can't win a World Series.
And so if my Mets Bible 2 comes out, I've got to show this is what it looks like. But my scorebook took a major hit over the week. Now, my question to you guys, because I do have one question, is after this incident happened, I very quickly ordered a new scorebook, the new Bob Carpenter scorebook. Just so I could pivot to another book.
Yeah.
Do I keep through with this season's book, through the rain-soaked, crunchy pages, to stay loyal to, hey, this was 2024? Or can I, at the beginning of this road, a homestand starting tomorrow night, open a new book and kind of continue 2024 in a nice, fresh, beautiful-smelling, non-crunchy scorecard? I don't know what to do. I couldn't sleep last night because it's all I've been thinking about.
This shows you're really good at what you do, Evan. I can't believe you just made me care about something that I should not care about in a million years. I think you got to continue with the
I got to continue. And that's why.
Guess what? This book, much like the Mets season, very imperfect.
Yeah, that is true.
But still full of magic.
And that's why when I got that FaceTime video from our very next guest, I was excited for him, but I was also really sad because I kept thinking about how damaged my scorebook was because I left it outside in the rain. But I got to tell you, his scorecard looked good. And I'm talking about the new voice of the New York Yankees, Craig Carton. Craig, congratulations on taking over for John Sterling. I thought you did a great job over the weekend.
Thank you. First, let me just say, Sean, very sorry for your loss, and I hope your family's doing okay.
It means a lot, Craig. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Craig.
Yeah, I know it's hard to segue from that, but if you want to discuss my brilliance behind the microphone, feel free. I'm happy to do just that.
Let me start with this. I got the impression. I listened literally to almost every second of your broadcast, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I have some critiques, but that's you know, sure. It happens. I got the impression Susan Waldman really liked you. Now, you sat next to her for 2.5 days. Did you walk away with the impression of, wow, I have a new friend and her name is Susan?
I think the answer to that question is yes. I think, you know, listen, there's an aspect of seeing someone face to face. I've talked about this a million times over the last 20 years in life, not just my career. Where it's disarming when you see someone face to face. And then, you know, the style of radio I've always done, if you listen to it, you might think one thing. If you're seeing me sitting next to you and you see the mannerisms, then you understand what a joke's a joke or when I'm being serious. I think that changes the dynamic. So I don't know that we're going out to dinner next week, but I would say that she and I got along great. I have a newfound respect for what she does that I didn't have prior to this. And if I had a guess, I think she asked one for me as well.
Did you talk to her in between innings, or did you do what I did to Governor Christie, and that's leave the booth for herself for those 2 minutes in between half innings?
No, we talked. I did not get up and leave. What you did to Governor Christie was just highly disrespectful, as you know, which we've discussed many, many times.
Yes.
Which is why, despite the fact that he kind of respects you, he hates you. I got to tell you, it was, I know everybody wanted something to go wrong or something to go south, or, you know, for me to mock her, for her to have, you know, some words for me, but it couldn't have been any smoother and nicer. It was great.
Did you talk, before you did the broadcast, did you have a conversation about some of the things that maybe she was offended by in the past, or did that never come up?
No, like we talked, you know, a few weeks ago for the first time. We kind of had conversations about what I had done in the past. So we kind of had that out, you know, prior to sitting next to each other. And, you know, my only message to her again was, look, you know, whatever you think about me, whatever I did do in the past, I would have done it again because I thought it was entertaining. And I can't apologize for it. And I'm not going to. And I think she respected that, because I was being real and honest about it, number one. Number two, part of this thing I want to make clear to her, which she understood without me having to say it, is that this wasn't my idea. This wasn't the architect's idea. This was the Yankees' idea. And if somebody thought that I was going to embarrass the New York Yankee franchise or the brand, you know, that would be the dumbest thing I could ever do. So I went into this with my first goal being, you know, do a competent job. And then the second goal being, don't embarrass the pinstripes. And I think whether people hate me, don't hate me, liked it, didn't like it, I think you could say at the bare minimum, it was competent and I did not embarrass the New York Yankees.
No, you definitely didn't. Now, I'm curious because there was, and I hate to do what we all did to John Sterling, which is say, hey, you should have said this, you should have done that. There was a call in my head that I was hoping you would do. But maybe you're going to tell us, listen, guys, yeah, I couldn't do it. If I did it, it would have created awkwardness and it would have ended badly. Was there a thought to a goodness gracious after a home run? And do you think you would have been able to get away with it? Or do you think that would have kind of ruined the good relationship you were forming with Susan?
I almost did it on the back-to-back home runs yesterday. Mm-hmm. I almost did it on the second one. So the Judge home run, because, you know, the Rangers are coming back. It's, you know, oh my God, the Yanks are, you know, blown a lead. They score a couple runs in the seventh or eighth, whatever it was. And then here comes Soto and Judge. On the Judge home run, as I'm doing it, I almost said, goodness great. I almost did it. And then I was like, yeah. You know, my voice is breaking anyway. I might as well just get through this as quickly as possible.
Do you think so?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You would have been all right with it? Or do you think that would have been like,
I mean, it depends how I did it. If I did it, you know, in a certain type of voice, I think it would have been obvious. If I did it straight, maybe not. But at that point also, you know, I think I had built up some goodwill based on the doubleheader the day before and, you know, being a professional, doing it the way I had done it, where that would have been silly to do because it would have thrown everything I had done the day before right into the garbage.
Now, Craig, there are two words in sports everybody besides Evan Roberts hates hearing, and those are doubleheader. You having to call a doubleheader on the first day calling Yankee baseball, did that make it harder or easier for you?
Well, I'll tell you what. The game gets rained out. I didn't have to get in the car and drive out because we knew about 1 o'clock on Friday that first game had been rained out. And the only thing I didn't know was, is it going to be a split doubleheader? That would have been terrible for me. The fact that it was back to back, and I'm looking at my clock and my watch going, well, back to back, I could still be home by 8 o'clock. Okay, I'll take the back to back. So the split day-night doubleheader would have been miserable for me. The fact that it was back-to-back 30 minutes after the last out of game one actually wasn't that bad, to be honest.
I believe, tell me if this happened, that when you were arguing with Susan, because you brought up some dumb points, but I've heard the dumb points before. They're not new to me. You know, whether it's if you get a single and you're thrown out at second, it shouldn't count as a hit, or I love the wave, or whatever. I got the impression that when Susan pushed back at you, you were like, you know what? I'm not fighting with her. You know what? You're right. I'm not. Was there kind of that? You know what? She's intimidating. I don't want to deal with this. She's right and I'm wrong.
It's, you know, it's the beauty of a pitch clock. You know, so like the conversations are truncated. So while you may want to continue a conversation, and here's the other one to judge, it kind of breaks up the conversation, right?
Right.
So I still believe that if you try to stretch a single into a double and get thrown out, that shouldn't count as a base hit. You shouldn't. You get thrown out. That's on you. The one that we could have gotten into a little more was the one what I thought was a genius idea back in the day. I got 9 pitchers. They pitch 1 inning every day.
Yes.
And your baseball purists don't seem to like that idea.
You know, it's funny. Baseball's moved more towards that than ever before. What was your favorite call that you've made? Because I'm sure you've gone back and listened to your highlights. I know you well enough to know that you've probably listened to your car going to work. Like, this home run call, that call. Do you have a favorite call from the 3 games that you did?
It's funny. I haven't heard a single call yet. I'm hoping someone can get them for me and send them to me. But that being said, if I had to guess, I would say there were a couple calls I felt like I got really right, like in rhythm, like Tavares back to the wall. Like I had the location of the ball, the outfielder, you know, running back to the wall to get it, you know, the home run, et cetera. But I think the one where, I don't know where it came from, when I said, she's got legs, you know, gone. I kind of enjoyed that one. Yeah.
You know what?
But I'll tell you this. Yeah. And let me trump you before you do it.
Yes,
I messed up. I don't know why I called Soto Luis. I don't know why I said that.
Louis Soho. You know what stunned everybody about that? Because I got a lot of messages. They all couldn't believe you'd heard of Louis Soho. They were stunned that you knew who he was.
Biggest revelation of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the guy with the second base, the drop, right?
The drop.
Luis Castillo?
You thinking about Luis Castillo?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know who the hell the guy is. I have no idea.
Well, you pulled that one off.
It was so much fun doing it, and it's a whole different perspective. You know, watching a game that way, and it was fun, man. I loved it. I would do it again. It was enjoyable.
More importantly, Craig, do you now know what a facial is?
Sorry.
That was one of my favorite parts.
There was one line. It was the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday where I made a comment just seeing if I'd get a reaction.
Yes.
And I said, this season, length is important in more than just baseball. And it kind of just sat there, and we just kind of moved on.
Believe it or not, I was listening. Part of the reason I was able to listen to so much, I was going to listen anyway, is I was driving back from North Carolina. So I'm listening, and I have my wife pausing every time I wanted to cut something and use it on the air. And that was, I think, the first thing I had my wife pause, rewind, and cut, which is the length comment. You said, Carlos, this game is all about length, Susan. That's not the only thing that, you know, length is important. And we talked about this earlier. I thought she did a great job. She just said, you know what, I'm not responding to this. I'm going to let this one go.
She did. You're right. A few of them, she's like, yeah, we're not going down that road. What's really amazing, and, you know, you guys are more in common than Sean and I in regards to what you and Bree to the table that Susan does. And obviously, she's done so many games over a quarter century. Like, her recall of players and where they played and what position, like, I'm trying to figure out who the hell Josh Smith even is. And then some dude named Andrew Heaney starts a game, and she's like, yeah, he pitched for the Yankees in 21. I never heard of the guy.
No, I can imagine. Now, when the game ends, all right, and you have your farewell to Susan, how does it end? Is it like, hey, I'll call you, hey, I'll see you around? Did you hug? Like, take me through the goodbye that you and Susan had.
Well, so it's interesting, you know, in the game yesterday, the Yankees win it, so she has to leave in the top of the ninth to go down to the field to do the, you know, star of the game for the Yankees. So on Saturday, she did that for the first game, obviously not for the second game. So it was easier for us to, you know, say, hey, see you, Mark, you know, at the end of the game on Saturday. Yesterday, I had to say goodbye to her during the commercial break going into the ninth inning, which then obviously I do the top of the ninth by myself because she's on her way down to the field. So I said goodbye very briefly, but then I did reach out to her afterwards just to thank her for being as gracious as she was. Because, look, you know, where you guys are sitting right now, and I hope you guys feel this way, and Tiki as well, like, that's your house. That's your kitchen. That's your living room. People come into it. It's your booth, right?
Mm.
And that's how she feels about the Yankee play-by-play booth, and she's right. Like, I was an invited guest into her booth, and I'm always going to be respectful of that just from a pure broadcasting standpoint, having done this for more than 30 years as a Hall of Famer, as you know. So I was respectful of that, but I did reach out to her afterwards just to thank her for being as gracious as she was.
So you really embraced this. You were like Rizzuto. You were on the George Washington Bridge before most fans then, based on that.
I want it to be. I want it to be, but you know, you got to do the 5-minute post game to get 30 more commercials in.
Yes.
And, you know, the stadium's empty. I think I left Yankee Stadium, I guess it was like 45 minutes after the final out.
Okay.
So for me, that's a long time.
If the powers that be, Lon Trost, Randy Levine, the architect, even Susan herself, come up to you and say, you know what? You're the answer. You're entertaining.
Yeah.
You'll get even better and better. We'll give you some kind of steroid to help with your voice out. We want to make you the radio voice of the New York Yankees. Would you say yes?
Well, they should call Fox Sports 1 first. That's the first thing they should do. And then they should find out, you know, as I said before, and I say this respectfully, how many zeros can you fit on a check?
But, you know, I get that, and I understand that totally. But I remember when Howard Stern took the, what's that stupid show he did? America's Got Talent. Howard's spin, which I always thought was dumb, but his spin was, oh, I'm doing this because what a joke. Isn't this funny? Like, oh, bad Howard Stern has become a judge on America's Got Talent. I'm like, give me a break. That's not why you're doing it. I think this would be the ultimate hilarious joke to your career. You finish your broadcasting career, a Hall of Fame career, by working with Susan Waldman as the radio voice of the New York Yankees. Like, I know money's important, I respect that, but I just think the story's hilarious, don't you?
Well, look, I think there's two things about the job that you'd have to be an idiot not to consider it or at least have the conversation. Number, it's the New York Yankees. Like, how many, as I've said before, you know, Mel Allen, Red Barber, Michael Kay, Charlie Steiner, John Sterling, and then a lot of fill-ins, obviously, lately because of John. Five guys have really had that job as a full-time job, right? And it's the Yankees. So your exposure is significant because you're now the voice of the New York Yankees. And unlike the TV guys that, yes, you do every playoff game. Those guys don't. So when there's a big postseason moment,
you're there.
It's a John Sterling moment. It's not a Michael Kay moment because Michael does it on TV, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that I'd be an idiot not to consider, number one. The job security. Obviously, it's not a bad paying job either. And if people that are in control of that type of job thought highly of what I did this weekend and ultimately want to have a conversation, I'm going to have the conversation. But as I've said many times, respectfully to the Fox Sports family, who've been very kind to me and very generous to me, and allowed me to do these three games, you know, because they own my broadcast rights. Respectfully, you know, they'd have to be a part of the conversation.
Are you going to miss working with Skip Bayless, or did you never like see that guy when you were around?
He was always in L.A. To this day, I've never met him.
All right, who's replacing him? Do we know who's replacing him?
No idea, but I imagine we'll find out by football season.
All right. Lastly, do you think you'll ever talk to Susan Waldman again?
Not only do I think I'll talk to her again, I think I'll do another game with her again.
Oh, yeah. Game one ALDS. Let's go. That'd be amazing.
I'm thinking game one ALDS, ALCS, World Series.
Let's go.
That'd be amazing. Well, Craig, excellent job. Awesome. I enjoyed it.
Just think about this for one second. Now that you bring it up. And I got to run. I'm sitting outside Barrel and Roost. In Middletown, New Jersey, getting ready to have a drink.
Yes.
You know, and I went to Larry's here's first time at Italian Sandwich, and I beat my son at golf in due process today. And I beat Doug Wells of Mercedes-Benz of Edison, Ray Catena, beat him by 8 strokes today. Now, that being said,
yes.
Could you talk about like a funny end of a career, right?
Yes.
And my career needs to continue for another 20 years financially, okay? But here's the deal. Could you imagine the New York Yankees, obviously they're going to be in the postseason, whether it's as a wild card or division winner, that's not up for debate. They will play a postseason round for sure. What if the postseason voice of the New York Yankees this year is Craig Carton and Susan Waldman?
It would live forever, dude.
Hey, that'd be one better. What if the New York Yankees win a World Series and the final out call is my voice breaking on gone?
Do you want to kill Michael Kay? Like, is that what you're looking for? Because that would probably crush his soul.
I saw Michael Kay on Saturday.
Oh, how was that?
I went up to him and said hello. And we spoke for about 5 or 6 minutes in the hallway behind the Yes broadcast booth. Said hi to Michael.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Craig, I think you did a hell of a job. We appreciate it. Enjoy your drinks, man. Thank you, pal.
Take care, man.
There he is, the great Craig Carton. I have an idea, and I have shared it with the architect, and I think the idea could happen, especially if you just pay attention to what's going on in this world. Mm-hmm. But I have an idea on who should be the voice on the radio for the New York Yankees.
You're going to share that?
And I'll leave it at that.
Oh.
When it happens, though, I expect that person to say thank you and say that was very kind of you. But we'll see if the idea happens. Yeah. Here's the deal. when the radio voice of the New York Yankees playoff run is announced, I'll let you know if that was my idea or not. I will be brutally. Do you want me to write it down just so you know?
Yeah.
So you know I'm not lying?
Yeah. Well, you write everything else down.
I think it's one of the most brilliant ideas I've ever come up with. It's sort of controversial. It's not Craig. I love Craig. And by the way, if he gets it, great. It's not Craig. That's kind of a new thing. But all I'll say is I told the architect my idea, and his brain started like churning. Mm. Like things were coming out of his head where he's like, his response was, Evan, I have a lot of good ideas. I am angry at myself that I didn't come up with that. And I said, wow.
Okay. Wow.
So if it happens, I'll certainly let you know. Tomorrow, we are taking the show on the road. Tiki will be back from his big rules meeting today, and we will be live from Florham Park, New Jersey, the home of the New York Jets. And we'll be doing our annual Jets camp show. Obviously, the Jets are in the news today with Hassan Reddick demanding a trade. So I can confirm Hassan Reddick will probably not be on the show tomorrow. We'll have a lot of surprise guests over the course of 4 hours. And I'm very excited to say, and thank you to SNY for this, and thanks to the New York Jets, too, I guess, that tomorrow we'll be on SNY for a full 4 hours.
Awesome.
So we'll be on the air at 2 o'clock, live from the patio of Jets camp. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. I've been there 2 years in a row now, because before that, they wouldn't allow me to show up. When I was doing middays, we were banned. We weren't allowed.
Really?
I don't know if it was a Joe thing, a me thing,
we
midday
snuck Joe
thing.
In on him last year.
That's true. And then they sent security.
In the same calendar year, I have taken my kids to Disney and Joe to Jet Camp. Joe at Jet Camp was far more exciting.
I think the crazy part about Joe at camp last year is Joe shows up.
The green socks.
He's wearing green socks. He's ready to go. It was his first time at Jet Camp because of what I just said. Like, for whatever reason. Again, I'm not sure if it was Beningo or me or just being in middays. We just were never allowed. Never allowed to go. So it was Joe's first ever trip there. And he crashed the Robert Saleh press conference
with me,
with Sean Morash.
We got yanked out of there so
and
fast.
Security like had this beeline, like Secret Service was out in full force. And they're like, wait a second, make sure that guy doesn't get too close.
No, we were lied to, and I knew, but Joe didn't know we were lied to. Actually, we're going to start taping downstairs. Please come back downstairs right now.
Oh, so they were chasing him out.
Yeah, we're going to set you up, and we didn't tape anything for 45 minutes.
That is great. But we will be at Jet Camp tomorrow. Should be a fun show. We'll be on SNY at 2 o'clock, and of course, right here on WFAN. Goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. It's coming up next on SNY. There is no Met game tonight. I'm happy about that. I need a mental break as a Met fan. I need a chance to cleanse myself, a chance to relax. There is a game tonight that has interesting postseason meaning for the New York Mets.
Okay.
Oh, you like giggling about that.
I'm just giggling that you're in your first day back from a beach vacation in North Carolina. Granted, a lot of rain.
Yes.
And you need a break from the Mets.
That is correct, yes.
When in essence, the break could have been last week from Everett.
I don't take a break from sports just because I'm on vacation.
I understand. I understand that. I'm pointing at the irony of it.
And maybe it would be healthy for me to do that.
Yes.
But a part of, like, even the Yankees I didn't take a break from. And a part of that is, like, if I come back after not watching the Yankees for a week.
No, I feel like you missed so much.
Yeah, I'd be clueless.
Yeah.
Like, it would take a couple of days to kind of get caught up. But you can do it. I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it or Lugie's wrong or anybody's wrong for doing it. I'm just saying I've always had a tough time doing it. I can't unlock myself from the local sports scene just because I'm on vacation. I unlock myself from the radio station, no offense. Like, I checked out. I thought that was the healthy thing to do. But from sports, couldn't do it.
This is what makes Evan, Evan. This is why Evan is so unique. We just had Craig on. He didn't know Andrew Heaney was on the Yankees for a season. He did Afternoon Drive here.
You
can't unplug for a week in August. So it just makes you guys different.
By the way, Evan also stayed in there. I could take a break from the radio station. I left the show abruptly Monday at 3:30. By 4:15, I'd gotten a text from Evan. Where are you? Why aren't you on the air?
Well, that's not how
so
I phrased it.
So on day one, were already listening to the station.
He texted us about the rain out while me and Tiki are on the air. Then Sean and Evan proceeded to have a conversation between the two of them. Me and Tiki are sitting there talking about the Olympics and all the booty we're looking at on TV. And you guys are worrying about stuff. You're both not at work.
Okay. Couple of things I want to clarify. I did check in on Monday.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even sure why. And when I didn't hear you, I was concerned.
Okay.
And so I reached out to you to make sure everything was okay. That's number one. Number two, when I reached out to you guys about the Yankee rainout, Tiki was the one who responded to me correcting me on common off days between the Yankees and Angels on how they would make up the game. So trust me, he was as into it as I was.
So the background to that was when we had that cancellation, I told Tiki, we're doing the show together, I go, we really need Evan here today because he's memorized the common off days.
Yes.
He went down the rabbit hole, so that's why he had that information. And you were wrong, too. Evan, you were wrong. There's two common off days.
Yeah, yeah.
Technically speaking.
For those confused, we don't need him. They played a double header.
Good point. It's moot now.
It doesn't even matter. My point was there are games tonight that impact the New York Mets. And we'll get to the Yankees in a minute. We'll get to more of your calls, I promise. The confusing one, like Padres-Pirates, not that confusing, right? You want the Padres to lose. They've been red hot. Mets are now like four games behind. Pittsburgh's five games under 500. They've collapsed. Let's go, Pirates. The Diamondbacks are taking on the Rockies. Diamondbacks, same thing, 66 and 53. They've opened up a bigger lead over the Mets for the top two wild card spots. In fact, right now, the Mets are 4.5 games behind San Diego and Arizona.
Boy, the Rockies could really have a say in a lot of things between the Mets, the Braves, and now the Diamondbacks.
No doubt about it. And look, being in the NL West, they're going to face the Diamondbacks and the Padres a lot. But the one that's most intriguing is Giants-Braves. They're about to play... I think it's a four-game series. Yeah, it's four games between the Giants and the Braves. And the reason that's interesting is the Giants are now just a game behind the Mets with the tiebreaker for one of the wild card spots. Obviously, the Mets are out of a wild card spot, but the Giants are just a game behind them. So if the Giants beat the Braves, in one breath, it's good because right now the Braves are a half game ahead of the Mets. But in the other sense, you better win your games because the Giants are right there. So it's a dangerous four-game series that only puts more emphasis on how the Mets have to win games. Because if they lose games, they're losing ground to somebody, guaranteed.
Which is when you and I, and go back to the Odyssey Rewind on this, were discussing what would be satisfying for this Met homestand. I said 5-1. You said, well, really 4-2, but obviously
it's a nine-game homestand, but you're talking about the next six games.
Because they're playing... technically the weaker foes. Let's forget to put the Baltimore series aside here.
Right.
The beauty of two teams in contention with you playing is, yes, somebody's got to lose, but somebody also has to win. So if you are giving back any games versus Oakland or Miami in a stretch where you know no matter what, on any loss, one team is gaining ground, that's a disaster.
No, I agree with you. It's an added emphasis to the importance. Like, look, sometimes you can get lucky, and the Mets have been fortunate in terms of Atlanta struggles, and they've been unfortunate in terms that the Padres and the Diamondbacks barely lose. If you lose games this week, you're losing ground to either San Francisco or Atlanta. And don't forget the Giants. It's easy to forget them because they're in the rearview mirror. But they're 61 and 59, and the Mets are 61 and 57. And they don't play the Giants again, and the Giants have the tiebreaker. So there are National League games that matter tonight in terms of the Mets. Obviously, the Yankees take on the Chicago White Sox. Sean gave you the lineup a little bit earlier. Nothing crazy. Juan Soto remains the two-hitter. Aaron Judge at three. I only bring that up because... even I've moved to the point of I would be intrigued by flip-flopping them, by really forcing Aaron Judge to see more pitches to hit. But right now it's working. And Soto and Judge are both having great years.
And behind him, it's way different now. Giancarlo now hitting cleanup. Austin Wells fifth. Both of those guys have been hot. So like that helps. Can I give Aaron Boone credit? We didn't get to do this with the lineup. This, in past years, would have been a spot where Boone would have got cute with off days. Almost assuming victory versus the White Sox.
Can't do that.
Can't do that. And I love that basically outside of LeMahieu, which, okay, give or take, playing, you know, batting ninth, they are doing that.
Well, Aaron denied this when I asked him about it at the Hard Rock or at Citi Field. Whenever we had Aaron Boone on, I said, Aaron, it feels different. It feels like you're being more aggressive in terms of guys playing every day. And he said, nope, not true. Guys are just healthier. I still think it feels different.
Definitely.
That there is more of a priority on... I want to get my guys out there every single day. Now, we saw him manage very conservatively with Gerrit Cole over the weekend. It came back to haunt them when he pulled Gerrit Cole one batter into the sixth inning with a relatively low pitch count. I understood why he did it because Gerrit Cole, you know, 5 days earlier was causing Sean Morash to panic that maybe he was damaged. So I think I understand why you're being a little careful.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the lineup, for the most part, it does feel very different than it's been in years past.
Definitely.
Carson is calling from Morris County. Good afternoon, Carson.
Hey, guys. What's going on? How are you?
We're good, man. What's on your mind?
Well, the first thing I wanted to say, going back to a couple hours ago, is I'm pretty sure I know why Tommy wants to go to the Knicks game over Game 7 of the ALCS, and that being because the Yankees are going to get it done in four. There's not going to be a Game 7.
Ah, good point.
There you go. Yeah, he probably knows it already. He's like, they're going to conquer the final balls in four.
Definitely knows. Yeah, right?
That's a fair point.
Next thing I'd like to say is I thought Craig was awesome. I was working Saturday, Sunday, so I had to listen to the game on the radio, and I thought it was electric. Like, That outing by Gerrit Cole, him calling the strikeouts was awesome, you know?
Yeah, you know, the real test on a radio broadcast is, and I was literally doing it because I'm driving in a car, so you don't have the visual to help you, is do you have any idea what's happening? And for the most part, Craig did a very good job of that. The one critique I had, I didn't give him the critiques, but I made a list. I was going to text him later, was don't just say they got him. Tell him if he swung and missed or if it was looking. Did that a couple of times, kind of annoyed me.
All right.
I wrote that down on my note sheet, but overall, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
And he added the humor and kind of described accurately what was going on in the game.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. Yeah, I definitely agree.
Thank you very much. I should be a critiquer of radio play-by-plays. Peter's in Rockville Center. What's up, Peter?
That's me.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Don't go over. I'm here. What's up? How are you?
We're good. What's up, man?
Listen, I just wanted to say, so before Craig, I mean, Craig is great, man. Before the weekend, there was an interview. I think it was Loogie had him on the show before he did the weekend games. And Craig was like, you know, he just showed a different side of himself. He was like, listen, if you think I'm going to go on this on the New York Yankees radio thing and, like, make an ass of myself, you got to be crazy. This is like, you can't expect a Craig Cotton radio show. And him saying that during that interview, it kind of just, like, showed a different light of him. Like, we all expected him to go in there and create this controversy and stuff or just be a jerk. He was very professional about the whole thing. At one point, he even told Susan, like Susan was carrying him. And it just showed a different side of him. That's why I just wanted to share that.
No, I think I didn't think he was going to come in and cause a ruckus. I didn't think he was going to come in and do the Susan Waldman alarm clock or anything like that. Like, I didn't see that coming. By the way, I want to read this to you. And I know I promised that I wouldn't trust this guy anymore. Jordan Schultz. Remember we banned Jordan Schultz because he was incorrect about a giveaway the Jets were going to have Kansas City Chiefs came to town?
Taylor Swift.
Like, he put out wrong information. He's still a good reporter, but he messed up that one day in terms that the Jets were giving out, like, Taylor Swift friendship bracelets. But he put out some more information about Hassan Reddick. And I want to read it to you. And you can tell me if you believe it or not, and then you can tell me what you think. Are you ready? It's according to Jordan Schultz.
Okay.
The Jets were informed before acquiring Hassan Reddick that his contract needed to be addressed. They made an offer prior to the trade with Philly, which Reddick turned down. The team still went ahead with the trade without a deal in place. Reddick attended his press conference with the understanding that his contract talks would continue. But I'm told no official proposal has been made since he joined the team in late March. That's where things stand, and it's why Reddick has not been with the team at minicamp or training camp, and why today's trade request was made.
So if I'm understanding that right, and that's to be believed, Reddick never even got an offer.
And here's what's so funny about this. So Jordan Schultz doing a fine job, the way Connor Hughes does a fine job.
Right.
You can tell by the framing where he's getting his information from. Sources. Like, Connor laid out the Jet side of things.
Yep.
Hey, we were under the same page. We had an understanding. Somehow things changed. This is clearly coming from Reddick's camp.
Definitely.
So what we have now is a he said, she said thing without either party actually saying it out loud, but just leaking information out to various reporters.
A source off.
Right. It's a source off. The Jets are basically saying, oh, geez, we don't know what happened.
Right.
We thought he was going to come and be fine. And Reddick is saying, hey, we turned down an offer. We made it clear we wanted a new contract. And the Jets haven't been serious with us on a new offer since they made us that proposal prior to the trade. Who do you believe? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle.
That's usually the way it is. But if I'm the Jets, here's what I wonder. And again, I hope Joe Douglas joins either us or Boomer and Geo tomorrow, because both shows will be at Jet Camp. So I hope he's on with one of us so this question can be asked. And that is, if you made an offer to him prior to the trade, like you made a long-term offer, why would you not continue negotiating? Are you continuing to negotiate? Like, why would you make an offer prior to the trade, and now that you've acquired him, been like, I'm not offering anymore? Walk me through that.
Doesn't make any sense.
A lot of this doesn't make sense.
Some might say, if that's true, he's clueless Joe.
Okay. 6:06. We're almost there, Luke.
I love Alonzo, but you've struck out more than he did this weekend. I mean, 0 for 5 at least on these stat jokes.
Positive Tommy.
No, that's net. You bring out a little bit of that.
I love being a Met.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.